We're starting a new series called Their Story, My Story. And I think all of us can acknowledge that we all love stories, right? What parent doesn't love it when a child says, "Dad, read me a story. Tell me a story." As adults, we gather around the big screen. We gather around certain books because we all love stories, right? And God understands the capacity that we have to love stories, because stories are really important. But the thing is, in our day, in our culture, stories often convey a sense of entertainment. But that's not what stories are all about, first and foremost. At least biblical stories are meant to teach us something. It's far beyond the entertainment factor. In fact, for many of us, the stories in the Bible are meant to relate us to the reality of what happens in life and the reality of who God is. And I think there's so many times that we can relate to people in the scripture because we can resonate with their story, because their story is so much like ours. Although we're going to look at a story that's not really a lot like our story today, but the truths that come out of it is something that we can all learn from very, very honestly. And here's the thing about biblical stories. Biblical stories are meant to be a mirror for us, but a window into God. Biblical stories are meant to be a mirror for us and a window into God. So they work on both of those levels. We can understand what's happening at the human level. But if we stay at the human level, all we do is moralize the story. We end up saying things like, just be like David. That's all. The reality is the biblical stories are to remind us that in the midst of the difficulties of life, in the midst of the up and downs, in the midst of the realities of what happens in life, there is a God that we can rely on. In the midst of those situations, that even though these characters in the Bible can very much mirror what happens in our own lives, they have a faith in God that we can have a faith in as well. And the reality is it's a window into God, his personality, his character, his nature. So even though we live with this mirror of how these characters reflect a similarity to our own lives, the reality is it gives us a window into God as well. So the biblical stories are meant to be a mirror to ourselves and a window into God. And what we're going to talk about a little bit today is something that happens, which I call defining moments. We've all heard about defining moments, right? We're going to look at a character in the Bible that has a defining moment. And for most of us, defining moments can be categorized in two separate ways. A defining moment can be an expected thing. You know, when you hear a certain phrase, you know it's a defining moment. Okay, congratulations, it's a boy. You know that that's a defining moment in your life. When you hear the words, "I do," you know it's a defining moment in your life. When you get a call from the doctor and it says, "We have your test results," you know it's a defining moment. There are lots of defining moments in our lives. But the ones that are defining moments that really rattle us are the unexpected ones, like the one I just mentioned. Those unexpected moments in life when something happens and years later you remember it clearly because it came out of nowhere, it came unexpected, it came, you could never have predicted this moment happening in your life, but it became a defining moment for you. And often those defining moments are what shapes the remainder of our lives, and not only shapes our story, but shapes us as well. And we're going to look at a really popular person in the Bible, but we're going to look at a story about him that isn't necessarily so popular. If I say the name Joshua, what do you think of right away? Jericho, yeah. And you know, and Joshua is this incredible leader who, by the way, stepped into the shoes, or should I say the sandals of Moses, after Moses died. Joshua was the leader that took over for Moses. And you got to imagine, to take over for Moses would not have been an easy task. That would have been an incredibly large set of responsibilities for someone like Joshua to take over. And yet Joshua takes over for Moses. The minute we hear his name, we think of Jericho. We think of the great conquest into the promised land that God had promised. And God had said to Joshua, you know what? I'm going to give you success as you go into the land. This is something that Joshua had. But I want to read a little story that most of us probably would just skip over. It's only 3 verses. And it's an incredible story about Joshua. And this is just before the Battle of Jericho. Here's what it says. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you a friend or a foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. That's it to that story. In the midst of the incredible things that Joshua did, there's this interlude just before the Battle of Jericho. And if you know anything about Jericho, God said, guess what? You're going to march for 7 days, 6 days around the city. On the 7th day, you march around the city walls 7 times. And after that, you shout loud trumpet blasts, and the walls are going to come tumbling down. This is what God promised Joshua was going to happen. But prior to that battle, this little event happens in the life of Joshua. And for most of us, we would kind of read over and say, well, that's kind of weird. You know, this angel of the Lord, this commander of the Lord's army. Is this God? Is this an angel, archangel? Is this Christ before, you know, the New Testament advent of Christ? Who is this? We don't really know. But what we do know is this confrontation happens. This confrontation happens with Joshua. Now, for most of us, as we just illustrated, if we were to ask, what are the important events in Joshua's life? We would unequivocally say, you know, the fact that he was a military leader, the fact that he was a person that replaced Moses, the fact that he was a person that came into Jericho and did incredible things and accomplished great feats for God, we would no doubt relate those events. But the reality is, if we were to ask God, what made Joshua great? I'm convinced that God would point to this event here and say, despite everything that Joshua did for me, this is what made Joshua great in the eyes of God. This unexpected defining moment in the life of this great man that most of us would probably pass over, most of us wouldn't acknowledge, most of us would say is irrelevant. It was kind of a neat event that happened in his life. But if you were to ask God what made Joshua great, this is at the heart of what made Joshua great. Because defining moments not only help to shape our story, they help to define and shape us. And this is the defining moment in the life of Joshua that helps to define him, who he is, not only for himself, but who he is for God. And it makes all the difference in the world, because I'm convinced that if Joshua had not responded appropriately at this point in time, God would not have allowed the nation of Israel to continue the conquest until this man's heart was absolutely right with him. This is a huge test in the life of Joshua, a huge test, and is a defining moment in his life. And many of us have had these defining moments in our lives that are unexpected, And yet we know they shape us more than the events that we can deem to be expected events in our lives. Because defining moments not only help to shape our story, they help to shape us as well. So here's Joshua, and imagine Joshua as a military leader. What do you expect would be first and foremost on his mind? He's about to enter into battle. He's about to enter into a conquest. He's about to take the nation of Israel into the war, as it were. And yet he comes across this man, and it's a totally okay question to ask. Are you a friend or a foe? Are you for us? Are you for our enemies? And I'm absolutely fascinated by the response from the commander of the Lord's army. He says, neither one. Neither one. You would have totally expected the angel of the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army, to say, I am for you, Joshua. I would have totally expected that, but doesn't. And I don't know about you, but if I was Joshua right about now, and I asked clearly, whose side is God on? And he said, neither one. I don't think I would have been very comfortable at that point in time, knowing what you're about to enter into. Neither. So as we look at this, I just want to implant four words from the story into your minds. First one is vulnerability. In those moments, those defining moments that are unexpected in our lives, they are the most vulnerable moments that we have. They're the most vulnerable moments, especially to truth. Here is Joshua, incredibly vulnerable by himself before the angel of the Lord, who doesn't even want to affirm whose side he's on, and he could very well have just taken Joshua out at that point. This incredible vulnerability that he says. Joshua's in an incredibly vulnerable position. He's exposed, he's by himself. And yet it's a defining moment in his life. And everything that he believes, everything that is in at the very core of him, he can't hide behind anything else. He is who he is. He believes what he believes. He's at a moment where everything that he holds dear is his and his alone. And it's an incredible test. An incredible test. This vulnerability. Secondly, is private versus public. You know, we hear all the time, especially in the political world, who this person is in private makes no difference who they are in public. Sorry, that's not a biblical viewpoint. God is very interested in who you are in private. Very interested in what you affirm in private. Very interested in who you are in private. Because who you are privately determines how you are publicly. You can only hide your private life for so long. You can only hide your the things inside of you that rail against you for so long. You can only hide your prejudice so long. You can only hide your antagonisms for so long. You can only hide your hatred for so long, because eventually it will expose itself in one way or another. God is very concerned about who you are in private versus who you are in public. And a person of integrity is the same in both. A person of integrity is the same in both. And here is Joshua. He could have struck a deal, couldn't he have? He could have struck a deal, but he doesn't. Private. Here's the other check that God puts into Joshua's life. And the third thing is this: pride. It's a guardian against pride, a pride check. I am really fascinated at the fact that almost every biblical figure, God imposes a test on them. Every biblical figure, especially the ones who we would look back and say, wow, they did miraculous things. They did incredible things for God. But if you look at all their stories, there is a point in their lives where God has tested them and tested them against their pride. It is very easy to believe that everything that you do for God is because of you. and forget that it's purely by the grace of God that you are given the opportunity and the privilege to do what you do. And we can get so caught up in how good we are, how great we are, how gifted we are, how, you know, how magnificent we are, just all of that kind of stuff. Enough to make you say that you're the favorite son-in-law of your own grandparents, you know. It's a pride check.
Are you the only one?
I am the only one. You guys are slow. I was waiting for them to say, I'm the only one, right? That's why. Okay. Pride check. And all God's people said. Amen. Okay, yeah. But a pride check. And it's fascinating to me that in this moment that Joshua is reminded of who he is, of who he serves, of who he belongs to, of who's in control, who's running the show, who's making it happen. In reality, who Joshua is accountable to. So much so that the angel of the Lord says, guess what? Where you're standing is holy ground. Take off your sandals. And the response from Joshua is to worship right away. This is the same kind of experience that Moses went through. Remember the burning bush? It's the same thing communicated to Moses. Take your sandals off. This is holy ground. Then as you come before God, that you worship, you acknowledge the greatness of God. This is a beautiful check on his pride to remind him who is in control. The last thing that I want to plant into your mind this morning is the word faith. I've said this numerous times. Faith is the number one thing that God is the most concerned about in your life. We often think of our circumstances determining how our faith is shaped. And that's true to a degree because God will use our circumstances to refine our faith, to shape our faith, and to test our faith. But this is a moment of truth for Joshua. That if you're going to go any further to lead my people into the promised land to do what I've commanded you to do, I need to know that you have faith in me. I need to know that you're relying on me. I need to know that I am the number one thing in your life. That if you're going to do anything great for God, you need to have a heart committed to him. And this incredible test. And for each and every one of us, we found ourselves in that position at some time or another, haven't we? Where our faith has been incredibly tested. And we look at the circumstance and we go, well, I don't know. I know the right thing to do. But the easy thing to do would be to fix this. But if I try and fix this my way, I know it's going to be wrong. It's amazing to me that often the most difficult decision to make in life is often the right one and the good one. Isn't that amazing how that happens? It's going to cause you the most agony. It's going to cost you the most. It's going to maybe lose friends. It's going to be the most difficult for work. All of those things. That to me is the greatest proof that we live in a sin-filled world. But here's Joshua falling on the ground. We cannot measure our eternal significance of present faithfulness. For some of you here this morning, to be faithful is the most difficult thing for you right now. And yet you have no idea how God is going to use your faithfulness in the future. You have no idea how God is going to honor your faithfulness now for some time down the road. And yet the easy decision for you right now is to do something because you don't think anybody's looking. Or you thinking that God will be okay with it, even though you know everything inside of you is saying it's going to be wrong. But Joshua knew that at this moment, this was the key moment in his life. The key defining moment in his life. Not the battle of Jericho, not the battles that were going to come, not for all the things that his life was going to entail because he was the leader of Israel. This was truly the defining moment for Joshua, even though most of us wouldn't recognize it as such. But for God, all the accomplishments that Joshua would have done for him, this is the moment that defined it for God about who Joshua was. And that's the reality. That's the truth when it comes to these defining moments in our lives, that we often look and say, look what I'm doing for you, Lord, as opposed to realizing, who are you making me into, Lord? And who can I become for you? Do you know the greatest enemy is really the one that lies inside of ourselves? And God will always test that enemy inside of us in ways that we can't imagine. For Joshua, it happened in this kind of miraculous way. I don't know about you, but if I saw an archangel with a sword saying, and if he said to me, you know, I'm not on your side at all, what would I say? But remember, biblical stories are a mirror to ourselves, but a window into God. They're a mirror into us, but a window into God. Now, because I am so distracted today, I'm going to end short. Wow, you guys. Wow, you had me worried there. I want to go be with my family. As we conclude, and as we look at these stories, by the way, I want you to remember that little phrase, that the biblical stories are a mirror to us and a window into God. We're going to be repeating that as we look at a number of stories in the next coming week that are really powerful and reflect some of the truths that we need to do.